Yeah, we're now going to move to kind of the question and response portion of our service. I grabbed a high chair because I thought it'd communicate more relaxed vibes, but it was really wet, and now I'm all wet. So that's why I'm wet, and I'm not going to sit. But I will answer your questions standing up. So we're going to walk through these. We've got about five or six, I think. And again, this is going to be kind of like nuts and bolts. I hope it's helpful for you. And a lot of this, like our church doesn't take an official stance on a lot of this. So this is kind of your pastor's reading of scripture. And this is all things that we'd encourage you to talk to a shepherd leader about and would be happy to engage you more about if you have questions. So kind of the first burning question that maybe you would have after a series on generosity is, okay, so like how much should I actually give? What should my giving be? And I love this question. I think it'd be amazing if the question was, how much can I give? Right? That seems to be actually, remember the Macedonian church that Paul talks about, they were begging earnestly to participate in generosity. And so I would love for us to get to a point where we're asking the question, how much can I give? But and I don't think we should wait until we get there to give anything. If we're asking the question, how should I give? That's a good start. How much should I give? So a few kind of principles here. In the Old Testament, 10% was the number. This is what was a regular guideline that the people were meant to give 10% of their tithe to the temple at that time, which was the Old Testament church. But this was a little bit different. This Israel was what we call a theocracy, right? And so it was dependent on the tithes of the people for the temple to run at all. This money went to supporting the various things that the temple did and the priests. So with the New Testament, when Jesus did away with the temple, we don't necessarily see that a tithe is still necessarily a law that we would have to follow. But it's not a bad guideline. But what we see that Jesus often does, when he fulfills something such that there's no longer a tithe, he doesn't usually lower the bar, but he often raises it, right? So when we think about the Sermon on the Mount, right? When he says, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I say, if you've had anger in your heart towards a brother, you have murdered, right? And so he's not saying do away with the law and so you could just go kill everybody. He says, do away with the law and do more than what the law required. And so in the same way with money, he doesn't say just give 10% to God, but he says that all of your life and all of your belongings belong to God. And we do see throughout the New Testament, especially in Acts, people giving all of their stuff for the sake of the church. So you sort of have these two extremes that we need to consider. One principle that we should keep in mind is that the way that Paul talks about it is that our giving should be proportionate to our wealth and possibly even our life circumstances. That's what we see. Well, that's not what we see here, but in 2 Corinthians 8, he talks about giving in line with what you have. And so we see this proportionate principle. And we believe, or I believe, that 10% is still a good goal and guideline, maybe a baseline. For some of us, this might be too much. For some of us, this might be too little. One author I read said the Old Testament laws are training wheels for generosity. So we ought to pursue 10% if we can. It's a good guideline. But we ought to give in proportion to our wealth, and also it ought to be intentional. So that's where this comes in. Giving as, you go back one slide. Giving as you've decided in your heart. Now, this isn't just kind of like a random whatever I have in my pocket at the moment, but we want to be looking at our income and expenses and trying to figure out how we can give as much as possible. So that goes kind of to the next question. How do I calculate my giving? Okay, let's say it's going to be 10%. I know some of you are thinking pre-tax or post-tax, right? Or pre-expenses, post-expenses. How much do we give? How do we calculate this? Well, the principle we would draw on here is that we give God our first fruits. And so whether we calculate before or after taxes, I'm not sure I have much there. I could see an argument for both ways. But we do believe, or I do believe, that this should be a top-level item in your budget, on par with our taxes. It shouldn't be calculated after other expenses, kind of what do we have in excess, but we should be giving to God first, and then we should build our budget around an income that accounts for that. All right. Third question here, where is my money going? Oh, no. Is it not there? Oh, interesting. So there should be a graph here. Does it disappear? Okay. I made this myself. I'm very proud of myself for this. I tried to kind of just generally summarize currently what our budget looks like. As you can see, the biggest item in the pie chart is staff. So that's me and Becca and Matt and Rachel and Miss Janet, others that we pay. This is pretty typical for a younger church, that staff is going to take up a big portion. Next to that is our operating and facility, so paying rent here and also just other like back office stuff that we have to pay. And then we have the blue is our internal ministry. That would be just like putting on kids events, different events that we do for our kind of community primarily. And then about 4% of our budget goes to external ministry. That's supporting, that's having a budget for people who have needs outside of our church that we're trying to meet, or missions and missionaries and missions, mission churches that we support. So this is a real general breakdown of our budget right now. So thanks for putting that up there. Once our giving grows, I would envision our budget shifting slightly. And again, this would be something that the leadership team would decide together, but I believe kind of in order of priority, if our giving grew, I would be able to stop fundraising. And so I spend about 3 to 4 weeks a year doing kind of external fundraising, trying to go raise money to help support our church. We would like to be able to get that time back to engage here. So that would be a high priority for us. But then we'd also bolster what we're already doing to meet our growing needs. Areas of focus here would be children and youth ministry, pastor and shepherding care, growing our internal mercy budget. That would be to have money for people to meet with counselors and emergency needs and provide meals for people when they need them. And then we'd like to expand our local outreach and kind of local mercy and missions budget. So things that we could do in the neighborhood to help care for those around us who aren't necessarily a part of our church. And then we'd want to expand kind of our regional missions, support and fund church planting in Southern Connecticut primarily, and then international missions as well. So we would love to see the blue and the red here continue to expand as our generosity grows. It's a little bit of what I was talking about at the end of the sermon last week, of the amazing things that I think we could do with more resources. There's a lot of exciting opportunity that we could meet if we had the resources. So that's where I would picture kind of our funds going. That's where they're going now. All right, how about this question? I prefer to give to nonprofits rather than to the church, okay? So maybe that's you, and we would say, or I see a priority given throughout Scripture to the local church being kind of the hub for ministry, even to the city. And so funneling our resources through the church to go and care for others. So we as a church want to partner with local nonprofits. If you have a cause that you're passionate about, we'd want to know about that and hear your passion about that. And we believe that if we pull all of our money together, we could make a much greater impact than if all of us send our money elsewhere. And also we value, that's where I think I put it up here, we value the oversight that happens in the church, the vetting that happens through the church, that we have a particular vision for how money should be given in generosity, and so you can trust that that's being overseen versus us all kind of giving to other nonprofits that may or may not be operating well. So this is kind of a lot of 2 Corinthians 8, Paul's talking about the oversight that's being taken, the steps for oversight that's being taken with this collection for the Jerusalem church. So that's another reason why we would prioritize giving to the church. And so we're not opposed to giving to nonprofits, but we would love to see nonprofits being supported by the church. That would be a big goal for us. But we do believe that kind of the priority should be to give to the local church. And if you have specific nonprofits that you also want to support those as well. All right, I think we have two more kind of quick questions. And I know I'm running through these, but just giving you stuff to maybe ask more questions about later. Should I expect anything in return for my giving? Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And so I think, yes, you can expect something in return for your generosity. God is a generous God. And so we will be provided for, certainly to have what we need. And so we talked a lot about the spiritual blessings that come from our generosity. But I also think that there's reason to believe physical blessings may follow as well. And certainly I would say that you can expect something in heaven, right? We read the passage where Jesus talks about how our generosity on earth is building up treasures in heaven, laying up treasures in heaven. I would also say that part of that promise, Jesus does say persecution will come as well. And so I do believe as we step forward in generosity, that Satan is going to push back against that. And so we should expect trials to come as well. Maybe not exactly what you want in return for your generosity, but I do believe biblically that's what we should expect. All right, and then I think the final question that's going to cover a few at one time. What if my generosity is taken advantage of? I think this is a really, really important question for us to get to think about. I mean, taken advantage of could mean a few different things, but I want to offer some general principles, again, drawn from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. First, I do believe that our generosity and giving should have boundaries, right? So each one must give as they have decided in their heart. That means that you need to decide how much you're going to give. And you need to be careful about giving beyond your limits, because he says that we do have limits to what we can give. And so you shouldn't allow anyone to take advantage of that or coerce you to give more than what you've decided in your heart. And so those boundaries that we set should be in line with our limitations. Again, 2 Corinthians 8:12, each one must give according to what a person has, not according to what a person does not have. You don't have endless amounts of resources, energy, time, money to just give away. And so faithful generosity requires that you have boundaries about what you can give, what you have to give. And then thirdly, I think another principle here is that our boundaries that we set should be aware of our limitations, but also other people's limitations. I already mentioned this, but throughout chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul spends like 10 verses explaining how they are taking care of the gift that the Corinthians are going to be giving. He thinks it's really important that the Corinthians know that we are going to use this money wisely. We're going to make sure that it's entrusted to faithful men to take to this next church, right? Because we don't want it to be misused. So here I think it's important for you, if someone is misusing the gifts that you're giving them, it's good for you to maybe step in and help them to use your gifts more wisely. But ultimately, if they're refusing your help, it might be best for you to stop giving that person gifts. Because ultimately, you might be hurting them more than helping them. We have to be aware of our limitations and the limitations of others. And again, this is why I would encourage funneling generosity through the church. If somebody comes to you with a need, you could bring that need to the church and ask the church to help meet that need. And we will have oversight over that gift, and we'll be able to offer that person holistic help. Our goal and our generosity as a church is not just to throw money at people, but to offer holistic care for people's issues and things that they need. And so while we might offer money for a time, we'd also want to come around that person to help them get out of maybe the situation that they're in. But we would say it's really important to have boundaries and enforce those boundaries on your generosity. All right, so that's like a real kind of like fire hydrant approach of trying to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time. If you have more questions about this, I'd encourage you to ask those. You can ask me or any of the leaders on our Shepherd Leader team. We want money and generosity to be a regular, like this doesn't have to be an awkward conversation. We're all thinking through this stuff. We're all processing it in different ways. And so we think we should be doing that together as a community. And so we want to encourage you I'm happy to, if you reach out to me to talk more about this or any of the leaders in the church to talk about some of the practicals of generosity. One of the ways that we're going to practice generosity is we do have, I don't think I have even an example of one, but we have commitment cards that we printed off. And we're going to pass the offering bowls around in a little bit. I guess that's not really relevant because we're not asking you to put them in there right now. But we would encourage you to get those commitment cards and take them home and consider how you want to give. What do you have and how do you want to give generously, both of your time, your talent, and your treasure? We've kind of gotten three different categories there. You guys don't have to hand them out right now. I think we're just going to hand them out at the end of the service. And so it looks like Alex has some. Some of the shepherd leaders will have cards. If you want to grab them, they can hand those to you. We're just asking that you turn those in, if you want, by the end of the year. And ultimately, these are for you primarily to have an opportunity to say, this is what I'm going to give of my time, my talent, and my treasure. If you return at least the time and the talent piece, that helps us know how you want to serve in the church. But you can choose to turn in the treasure piece or not. But ultimately, this is for you to kind of make a commitment to how you want to be generous this year. And again, would encourage you to do that in conversation with one another and especially with the leaders of this church. But as we kind of respond to God's word, I do want to pass these around. So this is an opportunity to respond in generosity to the generosity that God's given us. Thanks, Micah. Here you go. So this is a space where if we do want to offer our finances to God, we can do that here. There's also going to be a QR code up on the screen in a little bit where we can just offer back to God the gifts that he's given to us. As those go around, would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your generosity to us. We ask that you would open our eyes to see the gifts, that we would marvel together at just how gracious you are to us, and that that would lead us in service and generosity to others. Pray that we as a church would grow in generosity, that we might be a blessing to one another and to others, to those around us in our community, that others would be drawn to you in seeing the beauty of a community that's naming vulnerability and in meeting vulnerability together as we walk forward in faith and the ways in which you've covered our vulnerability, Jesus. And so we thank you in Jesus' name, God. Amen.